missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy.
And we actually have a fun episode for you today.
Hooray!
Yeah, we have gotten quite a few social media DMs and emails just asking us questions about like the podcast and us. And, you know, we know we told the stories in some of the stories in the beginning, but we didn't break down some of the things. So we figured we'd drop an extra little AMA episode, which is Ask Me Anything. So we're just going to answer a few of your questions and hope that you enjoy getting to know us more. And yes, we know that y'all keep requesting a photo of us on social media, and we'll get into it more, but we don't live in the same state, but we will. We'll make it happen.
All right.
You want to dive in?
Let's go. Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I will let you go with the 30-second version because we've told this story in a couple episodes. How did we meet?
Melissa and I lived in different states when we went off to college, and we met up in New Hampshire. It's a pretty small college. Originally, we both had different roommates. Mine moved out, went back home. Melissa and her, they just didn't jive together. She found me, probably caught me
watching SVU.
Like, SVU was like, you're my person. I'm living here whether you like it or not. And we kept in touch even after I transferred out and went to a different school, and have remained friends for, I don't know, over 15?
Over a decade now.
15,
yeah.
Or something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll jump into the next question, which is, do you guys live in the same state? We do not. So I live in North Carolina. Amy lives in Connecticut.
Correct.
One of the questions we had when we recorded started to say we're going to make this podcast was, how do we do it? And it was a lot of like Googling and reading. And I'll leave that 30-second version, but Amy does all of our editing. So we record separately in our own houses. Mm-hmm. I record in North Carolina in my office. Amy records in Connecticut in her, I don't know what room you're in.
Basement.
In her basement.
Yep.
Which, just so you know, we have experimented. I have recorded in closets. Amy recorded in a bedroom. So we've played with that. And then we have two separate audio tracks. And then I'll let you finish.
So we both submit our audio tracks up to a Dropbox account, basically, which is where all our stuff is. I basically line the tracks back up. And I do lots of cutting and editing and pasting. And let me just tell you that I've had zero. If there's a negative zero, I'm that. In my experience, I'm lucky enough to be related to someone who has some experience in music editing and instrumental vocals and things like that, and was able to give me like a rough foundation. And I continue to learn and grow, and I maybe mess things up sometimes, and Melissa has to like calm me down and tell me I'm doing okay.
All I have to say is
hard.
You edited an episode where your Christmas tree fell. There was thunder and lightning. A garbage truck appeared.
Yes.
And what else happened in that episode?
All in one episode, there was thunder and lightning. There was strong wind. There were my two kids, and they're not babies, like my two kids crying at the same time while the dog is barking. And I just...
Oh, because the Christmas tree fell.
No, that was a separate time. The adventures just don't stop. So, you know, Melissa's like, it's okay. We're just going to get through this. She's my calm person.
Which is so weird because I'm not the calm person.
No, I know. It's so weird. But we stick to it. Like, we're committed to getting this down. And plugging through.
We will someday.
Yes.
All right. So the next one is kind of a question for both of us. And we'll start with the what case drove you to create a podcast?
Can I just answer this? I know the answer for both of us.
Go ahead.
Adnan Syed.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
So I would say that for for Amy and I, Serial was the first, and we'll just shout it out, it's fine, was the first podcast about true crime that we listened to week after week and went, what is happening?
I mean, and I shared it with everyone at work, with friends.
Me too.
And before we were talking about it 24/7, and Melissa and I were like, oh my gosh, like, podcasts, like, I don't even really know what that is. This is incredible.
Right.
If I could do that for my life, that's what I would do.
Right. Fast forward. I mean, that was in, what, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward 5 years.
Yep.
And, you know, so I would say that for us was the first time we realized a podcast. And then we listened to a ton. You know, we consume them. We like them. We enjoy them. And then we realized that what we were doing was we would finish a podcast. For example, Live and Die in LA is a great one.
Yes.
And then we would call each other and say, okay, so, like, I don't want to spoil it. If you haven't listened to it, you really should, because kudos to the reporter who solved it. But we'd call each other and say, okay, so, like, what happened? And I wasn't just having that conversation with Amy. I was having it with my sister, with my friends. Like, it was... And it was those conversations that made Amy and I both say, like, we just need to start recording these. I actually think it was you that said that one day.
I don't know what I was thinking, because I'm the most introverted, I'm really shy person. So I don't know what was going on with me that day. Like,
you're drunk?
Either that or, like, I don't know, Earth and Mars swap positions or something like that. I don't know.
Yep. Got it. Yeah. So then we decided, sure, we'll start a podcast. And the next question is, why did you start one, which we'll kind of branch into now. Then we decided, okay, so if our conversation is going to be based on this, the theories, we can't do solved crimes because there's nothing to talk about. Yeah, we can talk about, like, why what happened.
Right.
And then Amy really was the one that was like, I really want to focus on the greater good and missing people. And I'm not opposed to that, obviously. And then we just were like, all right, let's go. And thought we could plug in a mic and do it.
I think we should save that one for last.
Last. Okay.
It a lot of work? And let us tell you about that. But
yeah.
So the next one is, which case would you solve?
As much as I want to say, like, it's always been Mara Murray, I really think... So I would say, like, Adnan Syed. Heyman Lee. Like, hands down. In my opinion, it's solved, but, like, I'd like to see justice brought for Heyman, her murder, and for Adnan to get out of jail.
Yes.
So maybe that one, but I'm telling you, if you want, I'll also tell you of our ones we've covered, Brian Schaefer. That one keeps me up at night. Like, I don't understand how he walked into a bar and didn't walk back out.
Yeah, that's a mind-boggling one.
What about you?
O.J. Simpson is one of the first... Well, I mean, honestly, the first thing that... I don't know how my parents let me even engage in listening and following it was the Menendez brothers. But really, after the Menendez brothers, and that was solved and stuff, I was into true crime. O.J. came along, and I was really invested in that. And I think, like, because that... really gave me passion for true crime. I kind of hold that near and dear to my heart, and I'd like to
see
more proof, because Melissa and I have differing theories on this, and I won't get into that, but
it's on Patreon.
Yeah, that's true too. It's on Patreon. But I would have to say, now the Adnan Syed case just really makes me feel a whole bunch of different ways. And I would like to see justice done for that case.
Agreed. So the next question is, it's kind of, we got two questions about this, and we'll kind of talk about it all in one. It's, how do you choose your cases and how do you research your case? So do you want to go first and tell your methodology, and then I'll tell mine?
Yeah, because we might do it a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't have one specific avenue to choosing my cases. I tend to check each state's, like, missing persons, if you will, archives, if I can find them. And I kind of read through as many of them as I can, trying to gather as much detail as I can. And hopefully there's enough detail where I can actually find some articles on them. And then I just kind of make sure there's some consistencies across the articles and pick out the consistent information. If there's something that I feel like there's really, like, it seems to me that it stands out, but I can't really corroborate it somewhere, I try to announce that. I'll say, like, I read this in one place. I wasn't able to find it in other places. I think that, you know, everyone should know that. Other times, I actually, because I might even be up Googling missing persons or something totally not related to the podcast, because that's just something I do. And so many times I've stumbled upon a case where I'm like, what's going on? Actually, let me shift gears and think about this as my next case. I have a list at this point of people that I really would like to cover. And I've done bare minimum research just to make sure there's more than one article or something out there about them. And I just kind of cross them off as I go.
Yeah, I feel pretty similarly to that. I Google some. I just, like, you know, Google missing persons or Google missing persons the year 1999, the year 2000, like whatever it might be, and hope I get a case that's interesting.
I might do 1973.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. I also look at, so at that point, like, once I find something that piques my interest, I typically go to the Charlie Project because they'll give me the facts in, like, a really concise one paragraph summary usually.
True. Yep.
And from there, I'll make a decision. Now, I will tell you, I tend to look for cases that have a little bit of twists and turns in them. I like getting lost in them a little bit. I like the rabbit holes. That's what we do.
Right.
You know? And so I look for cases that have, that are less straightforward. And if I find one that, like, interests me, then I dial back. I hope there's, and if there's a documentary or a TV show or a 2020 special about it, I actually watch it without taking notes, because for me, it's more of the storytelling at that point. I just want someone to tell me the story. I can do my own research on the internet. Like, that's fine. I can pull case documents. I can pull the search warrant if I want to. I can pull articles and all that. But I would like to hear how someone else presents the story. And then keep in mind, guys, like, when we're trying to tell you the story, we're trying to tell it in less than, what, 20 minutes is our goal? So, you know, we're not going to give you all the information that you would get in a 2-hour or a 1-hour disappeared episode. So,
right,
you know, we condense it. When I take my notes are usually like 12 or 13 pages long, but they're bullet points. You know, they're this is the facts, this is what happened, this is dates and times. And then, like, as I'm writing it, I might throw commentary in, like, Amy, can you believe this happened, to prompt myself to, like, address something. But I do a lot of, like, cross-checking references, making sure that data is verified in one place. I was actually at a podcast meetup, and one of the people I was talking to was like, you know where the best place to hide a body is? Page 3 of Google. And I was like, it's probably a fair statement. Like, who goes to page 3?
No one goes there. Yeah.
Right. But I was like, me, researching a case, I go to, like, page 6.
Right.
Because I want to go find the little known stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know that we choose a case with any certain methodology, except for I want it to be something that I think is interesting. And obviously, Amy and I have different ideas of what's interesting to us, which is why you get such different cases.
Right.
I like video. Amy likes 1970. It's fine.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's a good summary, and a lot of stuff that you mentioned that I do too.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the gist of it, guys.
Yeah, agreed. So, last question, and this is, like, the question of the year, is the podcast a lot of work?
You can answer that, but can I tell you, or can I just be brutally honest?
Yeah.
Can I tell you how ignorant we were, guys, about doing this podcast?
I say, if either of us realized how much work it was going to be when we said, let's make a podcast, I don't know that we would have done it.
I would have been intimidated for sure.
So go ahead. You can.
So Melissa and I did actually spend a lot of time discussing how we want to do the podcast, what we were going to do it on, what the name was, what the art was, like months picking out.
Shout out to our graphic designer, by the way. Yes. Stacey Bennett was amazing. We literally, if you could read my emails, I was like, we're going for a feeling. Also, shout out to Kevin Wyman, who gave us our music. I was like, I want it to sound like eerie, but not eerie.
Yes.
Not creepy, but I want it to sound a little bit creepy. And like, they nailed it, both of them.
They did. It was very quick. So in the preparation phase, I think that we did a really fabulous job, because I don't think that when we got going, like, we were struggling with pinning down ideas. But the day that we decided that we were going to record, we had our case ready. It was Dior. And I came home with my iPhone headphones and my phone and my laptop. And I said, okay, I'm ready. And
I had the same
thing.
My
significant other was like, no, you're not. And I was like, what are you talking about? You need editing software. You need not iPhone headphones. You need a microphone that's not your phone talking into your phone. And I could go on and on about all the things that I didn't have. And he was absolutely right. And that was the hard part. Now that we're in a groove, I mean, it's really just trying to perfect this for you guys, our audience that supports us. And we just want to continue to be more professional and clean for you in the editing and production process. But back then, oh my goodness, it was a train.
We also fully scripted the first episode, and it sounded like absolute terribleness, because we aren't the conversations we're going to have, and this is sort of the how we developed, like, we're not going to research each other's cases. It's going to be an organic telling of the story. That's all stuff we learned by doing it,
right?
Is by, okay, we both can't have a script, because our first trailer, it was like 3 minutes long. You can go back and listen to it. You probably shouldn't, because it's terrible. We probably recorded it 7 times. Because we can't, we don't do well with, like, you read this sentence, I read this sentence. We're just friends that want to talk about true crime. And that's how we do well.
Yes. Could not agree more.
You know, and is it a lot of work? Yes, because we genuinely put everything we have into this. Amy is a perfectionist when it comes to production and gets really frustrated when she can't get what she wants out of it. I try to respond to every person on social media. We respond to every email. Mm-hmm. We are trying to make sure Patreon content is on point. We are trying to record more episodes for you. We put so much energy into this. And I mean, I will say this. We read every review. We read every email. We read every comment on social media.
Yes.
And, you know, if it's a negative review and there's constructive criticism in it, we try. We address it. We have a conversation about it. We want to be better for you,
yes,
the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this is a ton of work, but it's worth every second to both of us. We love it. We cannot be more thankful that you all listen. And I know we say it in nearly every episode.
We're going to try and stop
but
that.
We're going to stop appreciating y'all.
No,
we're
of
done.
Course not. But, like, I don't want to seem like a broken record.
Yes. But we really do. You know, the fact that you guys, you know, care enough to email us questions about, like, how do you record when you live in different states? Like, that means a lot to us, because we're just us. You know, when we respond back to you on social media and you're like, I can't believe you responded, I don't ever want to be to the point where we can't respond.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it is so important to me that, like, y'all realize your value to us. Right?
No truer words. No truer words. We had a lot of fun when we were reading the questions. We were excited that anyone even had any. In the future,
right,
like, we hope to do this again. It would be a lot of fun. It's off the cuff. I didn't know how Melissa was going to. I didn't know how I was going to answer. So that's that. But
I feel like that's our story.
Totally.
Neither of us know what the other person's going to say.
Absolutely. So, you know, continue to ask us questions, and maybe down the line we'll do this again.
Yeah. Send them in. And feel free to social media, whatever. And yes, we know you guys keep asking us for a picture of the two of us. We will put it up at some point. Yeah.
We'll get there. All right. Well, thank you guys so very much. And yes. I would say see you next time, but this is one of those special episodes. So we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yeah. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.